everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeable.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, welcome to PokeChat, and we are going to be covering our 9th playthrough of Pokemon X and Y on episode 38. I have almost a full house with me today, and we'll start off with Devin because he has a special guest in his room. Oh, actually, he's going to take care of that special guest, I'm sure. Devin, tell us what's going on. What's going on in your house?
My daughter ran in the room to play with the kitten because the kitten was in here.
Oh, jeez, we
She's
love that
probably
kitten.
Probably going to run back in here.
The kitten was so cute that one episode. Everyone loved that. Okay, so then we also have Arielle, who is here from her one-week hiatus that she always has to take because she can't be on Wednesday episodes. But she's here on Saturdays to give us all of her Arceus knowledge. Are you feeling up to the challenge today, Arielle?
I'm feeling pumped. We got Team Flare and lot to do.
Did you say Mountain Dew?
No, I said Team Flare and Plot.
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to the joke of Mountain Dew and Doritos being, like, the gamer food or something.
No.
Which I should be on right now. I should be on Mountain Dew and Doritos, seeing as I stayed up all night to get ready for this broadcast just to beat the Pokemon game that I had to do. Because, see, that's just how dedicated we are to PokeChat.
I feel like you're just a slacker.
I am not a slacker. Look at these under the eye circles. That's not slacking. That's staring hard at a computer screen all day long.
Jeez.
Okay, so Saman, last but very much not least, you and I are very excited about The Last of Us DLC for the PS3. And other than that, are you getting to PS4, Saman?
Oh, of course I am.
I got it on day one. I already have it. I have mine, but I didn't open it and play it yet because I don't have any games for it. Because long story short, Ubisoft screwed everyone over when they delayed Watch Dogs, because that was one of the main games everyone was going to get. And lastly, but not least, for things about the show today, I am not only sleep-deprived, but I am a floating head, because I'm wearing a black shirt. So I hope everyone enjoys seeing Ghost Mitch in this episode of PokeChat. And with that, let's start our playthrough, guys. All right. So starting right off, when you leave Gym 7, Serena greets you and says that she'll challenge you to a daily battle when all is said and done, a.k.a. when you're the Elite Four champion. Lissandra randomly, evilly rings up all the trainer's holocasters to let them know that he's killing everyone K-Thanks by. Serena suggests that you find Team Flare's headquarters and tells you to go to Lumio City. All signs are pointing toward that Lissandra Cafe, and if you didn't know that way back when, then now you do, because honestly, that's the last hint they needed to give you that he was evil, you know? Okay, so then we jump over to Lissandra Labs in Lumio City. It's pretty funny because there are two waiters inside of the cafe at this point, and if you talk to the first one, he says, "Today our special is, get out of here or else!" I was like, I wonder what that tastes like.
Rude.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, he gives you the password of Open Sesame to open up the bookcase behind the next Team Flare. I'm calling it Team Rocket. Team Flare Grunt. All right, there we go. We have our game corner, touch the poster. We go into the secret dungeon thing. Saman, where was the twist that I was missing? Like, I needed something. Like, were you surprised by anything that was going on with anything of these reveals for Team Flare?
Nope.
All right, I don't think any of us were, actually. I mean,
yeah.
No one shouted out.
The only surprise I had was trying to find that cafe in Lumio City.
Well, he didn't explore it. He didn't explore it originally, I don't think, right?
No, I just took forever trying to find it, so I just took a cab. It was way easier just to take a cab.
It's like right next to the Magenta Pokemon Center. You just fly to the middle of Lumio City, and then like literally around the corner.
Yep, didn't find it. So
if you fly into the middle, there's literally a Team Flare Grunt sitting outside of it so that you have a visual cue of where to go. They could have been just any more obvious, Devin, that this was the headquarters.
If like the whole destruction thing would have happened in Lumios, I probably would have let him do it, because I hate so much.
Oh, I can't wait until we get to the part about the buttons, guys, because quite frankly, I mean, I had to fool around with what was going on with that. I did a couple different save files, to tell you the truth.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you'll see. We'll get to that in a minute. You guys are really going to like that. Oh, someone asked Devin about your daughter, and I think that's the first time we've talked about your daughter on the show. So give us more context, I guess, if we're looking for it.
Well, my girlfriend has a daughter, so I just consider her my daughter. She's not my, like, blood daughter, but I've been dating Stephanie for, like, 2 years now, so I just kind of call her my daughter.
And while we're talking about your personal life as the still newbie baby host, you're not a baby, you have a baby face, but you're in your middle 20s. Tell us how old you are.
I am 25, so I am the oldest of everybody here.
Who'd have thunk? Yeah, some real crazy stuff, right?
Old man.
I remember when I was first seeing you back in the good old Hypable PokeChat Facebook fan group, you looked like you were like 18 in pictures.
Yeah, I would not have guessed. Like, you don't really look much older than us, so.
No, I know. It's because of his smosh haircut. Oh, I called him the smosh haircut. Simon, you're probably loving that.
You should, I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
There you go. You peeked yourself there. I saw that. You censored yourself. Okay, good boy.
Sycamore being the Team Flare mastermind, now that would have been a twist.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
that would have been sweet.
That would have been sweet. I'm excited by that thought, and I feel like they're going to have to explore that eventually because, quite frankly, like, he was too much in kudos with Asandra not to know what was going on. And also, I just feel like it'd be something they haven't done yet, and it would be appreciated because we were just so used to seeing our leader, you know, show up of our evil team show up so early in the game that it's obvious who they are.
Or maybe it's like your mom. That would have been sweet, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, make it something kind of like mafia thing again. Like, Giovanni felt kind of mafia-y for me for some reason. I don't know. And Blue,
I like Team Rocket, though.
And Blue... Hey, wait. This might be a kind of connection to the mafia thing I was talking about. I always wondered this. So Blue takes over for Viridian City Gym, but he does that after Giovanni does. So is that like, are they like buddy and buddy, you know? Like, do they like get along really well?
They just hang out and they have coffee.
I have a theory about this, though.
What is
Seeing
it?
As Blue used to be the Pokemon champion, they knew he was a good trainer, so they said, hey, why don't you take over this gym, seeing as he was kind of already involved in the Pokemon League system due to the fact that he had been champion.
Alright, got you. That makes more sense. Okay, so Blue's cleared up, and we're going to have, I'm sure, even more Blue cleared up once we watch Origins. Don't spoil me, anyone who's watched it yet, because we have our English dubs, and we're going to talk about those release dates at the end of the episode, gathered together with all of the scheduling for PokeChat 2, because we have a bunch of fun stuff coming up for you guys. And that's your teaser to stick through the episode. Alright, so as soon as you walk past that silly little bookcase-disguised door, Lissandra just straight up battles you right then and there. Bam. He doesn't even stop to think. He's just like, yeah, this is a good time to do this. I mean, and to me, I'm like, all right, at least with Giovanni, like, we went from one location to another to go from our first battle to our... Oh, we did for Lissandra. But it didn't feel... It felt like too close. It felt like our first battle with Lissandra was too close to our second and our third, you know? So that's why it just felt all like they just crunched it all together. I needed, like... at least like a gym or two between battles with Lissandra to see, feel like his team had time to grow. Because it grew like 10 levels too quick. It was really strange. But yeah, his team that he had was...
Giovanni had a little bit of brains.
Yeah, I like Giovanni. I think, like I said, he's a pretty good criminal mastermind, and he actually seems like he knows what he's doing, and he doesn't peek around.
You'll like him more in the Origins when it fleshes him out more. I respected him more after I watched it, so it's kind of
nice. Yeah, cool. I agree.
And I'm sure in the manga, too, we're really going to learn to appreciate him, too, because I know he gets more of a backstory.
Yeah, and it's cool. I like him.
Oh, I can't wait for manga. Ah, it's going to be great. Well, we're on the topic of manga, actually. Update on that. With the way the XY playthroughs were going and with how much more anime we have left on our every other week episode schedule, and with our movie one commentary, of course. We're not going to get to the manga up until May. We thought we would get there around February. I don't know how we did that math so wrong. So don't hold your hopes out for manga quite yet. Like, we still have a lot more anime to come along, and XY, of course. We still have another 3 episodes after this for all that Elite Four and post-game stuff. But here, let's stick to where we are, because I keep jumping forward to the future today. I think I'm just future thinking. I'm using future sight. Okay, so...
That was coming.
Arceus knows all. She knows what's coming up.
Yes, Arceus
okay,
does.
Okay, no, I don't. But
so let's go through the team that Lissandra uses, and let's talk about if it's, you know, strategic enough to be legitimate, or if it's just like, these are evil Pokemon, so that's why I'm using them. So the first one is Mindfu. That is a weird typing, I remember. Arceus, what is it?
It's fighting. It's pure fighting.
But it has, like, a lot of psychic moves, because it's like a meditating kind of thing. Just like Medicham.
Yeah.
But was Medicham, psychic fighting?
It is.
Okay, so that's why I get them confused, because they're kind of similar in that aspect. No one? Bueller?
What?
No one's going to... Okay. No, I was talking to Ariel, and all of a sudden she just, like, stopped the conversation. I was just like, huh?
I thought it was... I didn't think it was pure fighting. I thought it was something else, too. But it's not.
Pretty sure it's fighting, yeah.
Yeah, it is pure.
I mean, I have raised one, so I should know that. Duh.
Same with its evolution.
Okay, so, yeah, other than that, he has a Gyarados, which is pretty classic for not even just, like, an evil leader, but more of just, like, you know, any kind of big boss, I'd say, because Gyarados is pretty intimidating, but it's not that hard to get. Pyroar, the male version of it, which is the most appropriate for the way it looks, because it literally matches Lissandra's beard perfectly. It's like, they both have this, like, glorious mane the whole time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Murkrow. Really?
Yeah.
Come on. What a Pika. Like, I expected, like, a big anti-card. Like, I'd be fine with another Slowking, to tell you the truth. I really would. I think that would have done wonders. But, I mean, I was just sitting there with, like, what, Murkrow? Like, wasn't that just, like, Gen 2 or something? Like, didn't that, like, barely happen when it happened? And now we're doing it again? Like, why are you bringing it back, you know? And there's so many more Pokemon they could have taken that are evil-ish for this game, I'm sure. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know that I just feel like there are just so many better options. Like, why not go with, like, that Pumpkin Ghost evolution? That would have been kind of fun, right? Like, or maybe Chandelure or something. That's fire.
Chandelure would have been cool.
Yeah, like, there are a lot of cool fire, ghost, or dark types that they could have done. Like,
yes.
I mean, Houndoom, I'm glad they stayed away from Houndoom. But, like, Murkrow was just, like, such a cop-out. It was just like, yeah, that's, like, an evil, dark, crow-like Pokemon. We're going to go with that. Why not? Wasn't too happy about Murkrow at all. All right, so, yeah, you defeat him, and then he's just like, hey, yeah, you have to go find an elevator key, so go find a scientist that you've met before on your travels. He's very vague about what he means about scientist, because we've seen a lot of people wearing, like, lab coats, and then we've seen his, like, admins, you know, of Team Flair, so I wasn't really sure the difference between those two. But in the end of the day, it turns out that it's going to be one of his admins that you have to battle and find. So the way you do that is you go around the hideout by spinny panels, just like in Gen 1. They came back, and I was actually kind of pleased. They weren't as frustrating as at Gen 1, probably because they went quicker.
Yeah.
As frustrating as ever.
Did you like them, Simone? You didn't like them?
Well... they're kind of cool, but just, yeah, a little bit frustrating sometimes.
I loved them. I was just like, oh, this is, like, a good puzzle for once. Like, I feel like, you know, Shauna's not gonna just show up and be like, I should stand here for the frou-frou. Like, she's not there to do that. Like, I'm all on my own, you know? It was a fun puzzle. I liked that a lot.
It did take me a while to get through it. It's like, okay, what do I do now? It's like, I couldn't figure it out at first. I had to think about it for a little bit.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, definitely. And the warp panels really made that a little bit more difficult, too, because you never knew where you're going to land, you know? So it was very fun to have a legitimate dungeon puzzle, I'd say. Not like a dungeon crawl, because I'm not a big fan of dungeon crawls in Pokemon. It just there's too many Zubat-like encounters in caves and stuff. But but these kind of puzzles, like in hideouts, are really fun to me. I've always liked them. They're kind of cool. And they're different, too, from, like, when we had the Fairy-type gyms warp panels, because that was just, like, guess every warp panel, and you feel like you're not moving anywhere, and you keep going back to the same room. This was like, oh, okay, I'm making progress. Even if it went the wrong way, I'm still going to find a battle. That's why I really liked what was going on with this, you know, this dungeon or hideout, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so the first Team Flare leader that you fight is, once again, Aliana or Alana, who never decided which. She's the one that has auburn hair. And I know that I'm going to pronounce this wrong because I think that it was Mightyena. Arceus, help me out.
Mightyena.
I always wanted to say Mariana, but I feel like I'm going to be wrong. Okay, so Mariana, and then Dradigan. Okay, wow, that was a very strong Pokemon to have as... I mean, she's an admin, so I guess it's legitimate, but like, I'd rather like Cassandra had that, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. It's just weird. It's weird to see anyone that is not either a gym leader, an ace trainer, or an Elite Four member that has dragons to me. Other than that, like, you don't see them in, like, the evil team. Like, you don't see them in common youngster Joeys and stuff. Like, and all of a sudden, they just threw it into Team Flair Alana, and I was confused why they did that, so.
Well, there is the whole thing where dragons got that nerf because fairy types exist now. I mean, in previous generations, dragon was, like, top tier. This is, like... the pinnacle of Pokemon. These are the most powerful Pokemon, but now with Fairy, they're not nearly as powerful, so they can shove them into every little place possible now.
Mm-hmm. And Gumi's a good example of that, like we were saying before, Ariel, yeah. In our episode, when you and I were saying, like, wait, why is it just Dragon-type? But now it makes more sense that it's just like, alright, they can add another Dragon-type in without another weakness, and it's going to be fine, because Fairy-type's there to even that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so... you randomly find Sycamore scientists in their superhero costumes in a computer room. They tell you that they're looking for a really tall guy, and they give you revives. They're very gifty. They give you a lot of good gifts. I like that. And I'm not sure why they're just sitting in that room, but they're having a good time. I don't know. They're liking it. Maybe they're playing solitaire, bubble shooter. I mean, what do you do when you're waiting around for the big tall guy to come up, you know?
Did anyone else think that have the key?
That they would have it?
Yeah,
again, that could have been a good twist.
Like, they were evil the whole time? Like,
yeah.
We haven't really seen betrayal in Pokemon games ever that I can think of. I can't think of, like, a big betrayal that happened, like, I'm part of the evil team the whole time. You didn't know.
Like, man, we need to hurry up.
They haven't done that yet.
It's funny that they haven't, because that's like, a very common plot point to do in any kind of series. I mean, it's cool if it's done right, quite frankly, because it could really be done really bad, and it just could be cheesy, you know, because, like I said, it's very common in any kind of media to have that happen, but it's very shocking to me that I can't think of an example, like, right off the top of my head, that Pokemon's done with that before, and, I mean, you could probably argue Blue if you wanted to, but that depends on what universe you're looking in, and, I don't know, because he's just kind of like a smell-you-later kind of evil. He's not like a, I'm going to kill your Marowak kind of evil, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing that you'll find is a room with a lot of beds that you can heal at conveniently. A grunt there gives you TM12 Taunt. The two admins that you're going to fight next are Siliosa, who is the one with the purple hair, who uses Manectric and Drapion. Drapion was pretty beastly, I have to say. And then the next one you fight is Byrani, who has the green hair, and she uses her Leopard and her Bisharp. I'm a big fan of Bisharp. I like that.
Leopard.
Thank you, Arceus. I like Bisharp's typing, and I think that it is pretty fast and has a strong attack power and has, leveled up moves that it learns that can reciprocate for all that. So I've used it a couple playthroughs before, and I've always been happy with it. So I was excited to see it show up in this little part. Anyone else have a Pokemon so far that I've mentioned that the admins are using that you were really excited for, Ariel?
Well, there was a whole Dragon thing, and then... really, besides that, it's like, yeah, they're using dragons now!
Totally. How about you, Simon?
No, not really.
That's so sad. You're so unenthusiastic about the mins.
It was nice to see a change of Pokemon from the Houndooms and the Mightyenas and everything.
Yeah, we had a little bit too much Mightyena Houndoom going on. I agree. I think that it's nice.
It was like a relief to your eyes to see, like, Drake kind of like, oh, that was neat. Cool. All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure these are all a culture shock when you see these, like, I don't know, Gen 3 and Gen 5 Pokemon just thrown at you and you don't know what they are, right, Devin?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, do you look them up online to see what their typings are, at least?
Oh, yeah, I literally, right when you said Drapion, I was like, Drapion, and I wanted to make sure of what it was, because I wasn't sure where it came from.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And same with Bisharp.
Okay, so After you defeat that duo, they reveal that Team Flare is also using the large stone slabs on Route 10 to power up their ultimate weapon, along with the power that they stole from Lumio City, along with the power that they're using from Mega Evolutions. Okay, apparently they need a lot of power from a lot of different places. They couldn't decide which one they liked the most. But in the end of the day, it seems like Route 10 was the best one, because those slabs are apparently the graves of the Pokemon that died at the hand of the ultimate weapon 3,000 years ago. All right, guys, I have canon questions for you, and not canon with two N's. My canon questions are, if this is a little bit spoilery for what we're talking about right now, but it's within our episode of PokeChat, so bear with me. If every Pokemon would die via Lissandra's weapon, why did every Pokemon not die 3,000 years ago when the weapon was used? Devin, what's your theory?
Well, you have to pick me first. I do not know, to be honest.
It's strange, right? Like, you see what I'm coming from.
Like, you would think if it was used, the Pokemon just don't exist anymore, but yet they do.
Because what I'm getting is that from 3,000 years ago to today, it's the same weapon, like, literally the same weapon, it's been replicated, and that it's going to flatline the Earth and destroy all organisms. Ever.
Well, is that the only way it can be used, though?
Apparently.
Maybe the first time it was used for something else.
It was used for something else. We know it was via a story we're about to learn about. But just sticking within its destruction capabilities, Ariel, do you have an idea of what their canon is for? Like, what does that ultimate weapon do?
I think it does exactly what it's supposed to do, but it's like, it was 3,000 years ago, and it was, like, fired into the middle of Kalos, and it ends the war, spoiler alert, but, yeah, it's like, it does exactly what it's supposed to do, but it was 3,000 years ago, it didn't destroy all of Kalos, maybe it just wasn't as powerful as it could have been, like, not full power like Lissandra's trying to do, but it's like, it was supposed to be like a warning shot to like end the war because the king was really angry because his Loed had died. So, yeah, it's like...
Don't get into that story yet. Insaman, stop your typing. Whatever you're doing, not as important as PokeChat. I'm looking up something for PokeChat. We hear it.
So is Kalos in the same area as all the other regions too? No. So it didn't affect any other region?
No, it didn't. To the best of my knowledge. Well, okay, here's the thing. All right? We actually see the planet that Pokemon, the games, take place on, because it zooms out in a little bit. Once again, I'm totally getting ahead, but it's hard not to, because it's like we want to talk about you know, where the story goes, but it's not really chronological, because they just toss out random things. But the planet that they're on is just one planet with other continents on it. I mean, it was kind of cloudy on purpose, so I feel like they didn't want us to look and see where the other regions were, like, you know, where's Kanto and Johto and... wherever else, but from everything that we've come to understand, this is meant to be France, and it's supposed to be separate from Japan, which was Kanto, Johto, and a lot of the regions were in Kanto, and then if I'm getting this right, then Unova was the only one that took place in America because it had New York City as its base. Yeah. So that's what we're going with right now, Devin. So. I think there's some obvious comparisons we can make to the...
First four generations were all in Japan.
What? Oh, yeah.
First four generations were all in Japan.
Yeah, so they were.
Which makes sense.
And I think that there's obvious comparisons to nuclear bombs, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs. Like
Nagasaki.
I couldn't get it out there. My brain just couldn't... but, you know, the world wasn't decimated from those, but that area was. You know, so maybe that's what it is, Devin. That's the best I have.
That's a really good interpretation, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense with the Japanese culture that would be something of an interest for them to make in a game. I mean, it's them expressing in art what their history is, you know? So, it's also interesting to me that it takes place in France when they're doing a nuclear bomb storyline. I'm not saying, like, this is, like, a political statement from Japan, but I'm saying, like, if they were going to do that and they're going to express... the pain and sorrow of a country ruined from a large weapon, you think that they would do it in a place that took place in Japan, you know? Like, that makes more sense to me than France, because France is just like, wait, they didn't have a nuclear bomb there. They didn't have a mass bomb, and I don't know. So it's just strange because they do seem to like to draw World War II references with the battle raged on forever and ever until the final bomb happened. And I don't know. I feel like we're literally led to feel that. So that's why I'm just feeling like this weird contrasting thing going on. Like, why are we in France? You know. So I will overtalk that to death. But we do have more points coming up about that, and it'll give us more information on what exactly went down in the 3,000 year. Ago war. We need a name for that, by the way. That's just too clunky. I can't stand saying that thing.
The Carlos King War? I don't know. Technically, there is another name I would like to give it, but it's a little spoiler this time. But
oh, okay. Good. Dope. Yep.
World War Pokey.
World War P.
I'd love to know if the other continents were involved, quite frankly.
Well, Lieutenant Surge always talks about a war, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think it's a different war. I think
Lieutenant Surge wasn't around 3,000 years ago.
I know.
That's true.
He might be. There's no ages in this game. People could live forever, it seems like.
I mean, apparently they can because, oh god, we're totally skipping around so much. But the big tall man who's the descendant of the king is, they kind of prod you to let you think that he's still the king that set off the bomb way back when. So
why is he so big?
I don't know, he's so big. Maybe he just kept on growing tall as he grew old. Okay, so here, let's get to this all when we talk about the story. We have more details about that.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're totally getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so we're still, like, spinning around on spinny plates right now. We're not anywhere. It's because, it's just frustrating because the two Team Flare admins, they totally talked about details that are, like, reiterated in a different way, though, later on. So that's why it's hard not to want to talk about that stuff right now because there's no way to, like, piece it together nicely. It's just all, like, jagged pieces that they just, like, threw randomly, you know? It's not smoothed out. I want my answers. Okay, so we finally do get our Han Doom when we fight Mabel, who has blue hair, and also she has a Weevil. She's the one that gives you the elevator key. As you go down to basement floor 2, you will see Lysandra staring at that large, probably the old ancient king man, in an electric cage. The tall, mysterious man just literally starts a story. He doesn't need prodding. He just is like, oh, this looks like a good time for a story. Grab your milk and cookies, kids, and I'll tell you about the destruction of humanity. So the story goes as such. During a cutscene, by the way, that was very gorgeous. It had nice animation and music and text to go along with it, and it was great. You didn't have to advance the text. It was like a movie. It was cool. The story goes as follows. During the battle 3,000 years ago, a man lost his flabebe, but used a machine...
It was Floette.
Oh, okay, thank you. But used a machine to give it back its life. Just a machine. I don't know where he got this machine, but... The man was still angry that his Floette was killed, even though he brought it back to life. So he was like, oh, I'm going to turn this life-healing machine into a life-destroying machine. So he creates an ultimate weapon that kills everyone, because it made it sound like it did, but then again, this showed Pokemon still, like, hanging out after. I don't know. The Floette saw this and got really angry and left his trainer. Well, it felt sad that its fellow creatures were destroyed. And it left its trainer anyways. So it's a really... what's it called? Something where, like, it's just a tragic story because nothing goes right, even when they try. There's, like, a certain name for it in English.
Tragedy?
No, maybe it's not tragedy.
Story? I don't know.
I feel like there was a certain name for it. It was, like, epic tragedy or something. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so after that story, Lysandra reveals that this man shares the name Oz with the king from 3,000 years ago. Oz tells Lysandra... Yeah, so that's another thing that's going to point out, you know, that he's potentially that king. And Oz tells Lysandra to get the key back to prevent this disaster from happening again. But I think he was supposed to be telling you that. I don't know. It was, like, not really directed at anyone. He was just kind of, like, talking to the wall. He just told the story to the wall because no one was, like, telling him to tell us the story of the good old times, you know? He just went on his rant, so. So that's the big story that we had to go off of. And that's the one we've been referencing a lot. So, Ariel, I'd love to hear how you're going to weigh in on everything that's going on with this stuff.
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to just be A-Z, so... Because it's capital A, capital Z. A lot like how in Last Generation it was N, so...
Oh, okay. So I see that reference you're making right there. Well, is it pronounced AZ then? Or Oz?
Yeah. If it was Oz, it would have been like capital A, lowercase z. But seeing as it's capital A, capital Z, I'm pretty sure it's AZ.
Because personally, I want to call it Az. Like, Az. Like, he's an Az-Ben. I don't know. Like, that makes more sense to me that way. All right, so yeah, that story is all over, and you can talk to the king again. Well, I'm calling him the king, and he doesn't really do anything. He is just saying the same thing over and over again, so nothing too special about that. Okay, so Lysandra then tells you to follow him down to his chambers, where he tells you that you are the chosen one, and that you can stop him from using the weapon because you are the chosen one. All right, Harry Potter, like, it's just so stupid that a big evil guy would be like, oh, I've worked so hard all this time, but look at this teenager coming around. He knows what's going on. You know what? He can ruin it if he wants to, because you know what? He's cool. Look at him. He's like, he exudes cool. He's been to cafes. He wears like a fashionable hat. You know, he got like a starter from like Sycamore. He's it. That's the one. That's defined as the one. Done. We're good. Guys, I'm sorry. I quit. The one came by. Like, that's it. Done.
That's like, logic.
Yeah, I was like, you're a dumb antagonist. You're just so stupid to just all of a sudden, like, quit everything to just be like, hey, yeah, you just, this kid is like, I don't know, used one or two AXPLs too much and was able to wipe my athletic team of hounding out. So that's my opinion on Lysandra. Devin, are you feeling the same way that I am?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of him. He's like throwing in the towel just because he feels like he's chosen one. I don't know. That whole last bit was just like, what is going on here? I'm so just, ugh.
I don't know. It was just kind of silly, you know? It just didn't make too much sense. I don't understand what their whole logic behind doing that was, but they must have had some. Maybe it was to make it more kid-friendly. Maybe.
He's back!
Mitch!
Okay. Yes, I know I'm back. It was silly, because my computer decided to crash. I hope you guys covered for me really well.
We were off air.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're back now, at least, so hope everyone watching didn't get too bored, huh? Anyways, okay, so we were just talking about how it was just silly that you're given the choice to do anything with the, button. Like, you shouldn't have an option to, you know, choose whether or not you're going to destroy the world at that point. Like, if he's done that much work, like, you know, why is a kid going to be able to stop him from that? It just seems silly to me. All right, so as you are given this option, a fight with Team Flare admin Zerosik ensues, and this man is the one that I thought was originally going to be the Team Flare, like, main boss.
Y'all did. We were fooled into thinking, so...
Totally. No, I absolutely did. I think that was legitimate for thinking that, quite frankly, because he was, like, the only one that was, like, displayed next to those, other admins, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of silly to me that he wasn't. He's just kind of, like, a random guy who just kind of chills into the end. He's just like, I'm just the other man who looks important, but I'm really not. All right, so... The team that he uses is Crobat and Malamar, which is that upside-down squid that you have to turn your 3DS upside down for to use, so that's pretty interesting.
What is that, Dark Psychic? What is that thing?
Yeah, Dark Psychic. But the thing after this is what we were talking about. They get to choose whether or not you want to save the world. And if you choose the right button, that is the death one. If you choose a blue one, it's safe. Okay, so here's where I did two save files. I definitely pressed the blue one, because I expected it to be, like, reverse psychology, like, because it was blue, it was going to be the bad one. But it turns out blue one was the safe one. I was disappointed. I wanted it to be the bad one. So just see what happened. So I saved the red button, and I went back.
Opportunities.
And then I pressed the red button. And then he's like, ha, 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 you destroyed the world. And I was like, yeah, I did. I mean, I knew it was coming. Like, I did it to myself.
And then what happens, though? After you choose
the
red.
It's the same cutscene. It's just
okay.
The poison flower that they call. It just comes out of the ground, and then you're fine. So it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So basically.
Yeah, because he says, I would have done this no matter what. I would have pressed the red button, even though Lysandra told me not to. Yeah, because I think he agrees with this. Lysandra's just stupid for not having press that button. Which
I have a comment from my friend that everybody wanted me to read. It says, but speaking of Lissandra, oh no, my opponent was smart enough to bring a water type. Help, better surrender and give up my plans of world destruction.
That's cute. I like that. That's funny. That's legitimate.
And then he
too.
Also said, bring a Lapras with Bolt Beam and Surf and he's screwed.
Totally. He's not a single chance. I agree. Okay, so as this cutscene shows the poison flower blooming in Geosenge Town, the whole world looks on in terror. And you would think that people would be a lot more terrified, maybe like Lumio City or something, but I don't think that they really pay attention to news. Maybe they don't have Twitter in the Pokemon world or something. But
we've got Holocast.
They have Holocast. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't another news report, quite frankly. I don't know. That was kind of funny to me. Okay, so then in the town that you fly to of Geosenge Town, grunts are guarding buildings and the entrances to everywhere in town. You battle a grunt to enter their secret headquarters in that giant boulder that I referenced as like the Jesus boulder when we first saw it originally, because it just had like some kind of like biblical significance to me, because it had like stones in front of a cavern that, you know, hadn't moved yet. So that's fun that we get to finally go in the Jesus cavern, I guess. And when you go in there, you are joined by Serena, of course. She just naturally has to come along. But to me, I saw their ploy. They added Serena in simply to have someone that can actually talk, and they can actually be like, Lissandra, why are you doing this? Because, like, your protagonist won't say anything.
Silent protagonist, wee!
Yeah, basically, there's not a lot of easy ways to get around silent protagonist or nameless protagonists, like we've seen in, like, Final Fantasy games, and it's just funny the way they try and work it around. I love it. I love when they do that. It cracks me up. All right, so inside of this building where you would expect to be attacked, only the grunts and scientists just talk to you. They're just like, eh, whatever, yeah, you know. You're going to stop our plans. I mean, whatever, do it. So if you go up to Lissandra at the top of the stairs when you first enter, he talks about how you have to steal to get on top in life, and he just randomly starts, like, tear-bending super hard when he talks about killing off all Pokemon. And he asks you to battle one last time. He uses Main Shao, Gyarados, Pyroar, and this time it is evolved into a Honchkrow, but it is still nonetheless impressive. It's it's horrible. This thing is just like, it took like one Thunderbolt for my Lapras, and I was like, it's not even getting stabbed. How am I doing this?
Like I just said, you bring Bolt Beam and Surf, and he's screwed.
Totally. Like, he's not going to survive. Oh, he's just ridiculous. Bad boss. Not even a good boss. Like, I miss, like, what were the good old days where we used to get, like, Miltank, you know?
No.
Guys, I want the Miltank days
then
back.
You had plenty of bosses with Emolga. You had plenty of bosses with Emolga.
Oh my god, I did.
Yeah,
I had so many.
But Emolga was tougher than, like, this guy.
The Emolgas are always tougher than everything ever. Are you
kidding
me? Emolgas are like hell incarnate. Those things are like the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's because they're resistant to electricity. Well, not resistant, but it doesn't do super effective damage to them.
It's obnoxious. I cannot stand Emolgas. I really can't. I just, if we're gonna mass massacre anything, no, okay. I'll stop there.
They're the mosquito of the human world.
Of the Pokemon world. I can't stand those things.
I like the Volga.
I mean, it's cute and all, but it's just like, I can never kill it. It's so frustrating. Anyways. So, as you are going through the basement down farther and farther, because basically, once again, you're told by Lissandra, yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, the legendary guy that's, like, powering up my big laser. You can go check it out if you want. I mean, like, you can stop me if that's what you're up to. I mean, whatever floats your boat, honestly. And I was just like, okay, like, you're just letting me do this? That's no, like, you fought me, but now you're just letting me go. But it wasn't that sweet, because he did have people winning in line as you went down, and they had double battles with you and Serena against them. Naturally, I killed Serena in every single battle, but she still was able to survive enough to kill them before I could kill all of hers. It was a fun competition. It didn't heal me, so I got really sad. My Lapras was taking a lot of damage, but I was just ice beaming the crap out of her Meow stick. It was great. I loved when a break scene would come out, because I would go and just brine it or surf it, and it would just be so satisfying. I need to be really, like, you know, up on what's going on. I need to see what's going on with her team, what her moves are, all that. You know? So, my way of learning.
You know what her team is by that point, though.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Because I know previous generations that when you had your rival as your partner, you often would only be able to see, like, the second stage of their starter's evolution if you killed them in a double battle like that. So that's why I'm so paranoid. It's worked into my brain that to fill my Pokedex or whatever, that I have to kill every single one of theirs. It's just a natural thing that I do every time.
You just want to knock her Pokemon out.
It is kind of fun, because she just stays there helplessly. Like, she doesn't do anything, you know, obviously. So. I do kind of dig it. It's fun.
You got problems, Mitch. You got problems.
I do.
You do.
So Shauna ends up joining you randomly, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm here too. Ha ha ha. And I was like, wait, how'd you get past, like, Lissandra? Didn't you want to battle you too, or is that just me? Like, am I just the one? Is that it?
You're not the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you go down to a large door that has the Team Flare insignia on it, and you have to use Shauna's device that she got from Clement. So we definitely can ship her and Clement, because, you know, his love for her came through in the 9th hour, or the 11th hour. Oh, gosh. Totally, so...
Where has she been this entire time?
Exactly, she's been hanging out in Prism Tower, are you kidding me? You know, she loves that. She's playing that quiz all day long. Guessing it right, though, she should go quicker, unlike us.
Oh.
Oh!
Zing!
So it breaks. Whatever it was is broken. I'm sure we're going to see this in the anime. I want to see what this puzzle solver is going to look like, because she's like, well, keys and electronic stuff, that's all like puzzles, so I think this is going to work. Yeah, we're going to use it. Okay, oh my god, it worked. Yay!
Your voice for her is atrocious.
I think Shauna's atrocious. I can't stand her. She's obnoxious.
Really? I like her.
My friend says...
You just like her as a wife.
I'm here with the Deus Ex Machina. Stand back.
Seriously. She's just like, wait, guys. I have everything in the answers. Just let me put this on the door. We'll be good. Oh, my God. Yeah, just silly.
I already pushed the button.
Seriously. Ready, guys, ready to press the red button. Like, the world's going to explode. Like, why are we doing this? But Devin, I'm telling you, you only like her because she's your waifu. She just is that cute little anime girl with her short shorts and her big hair and her big eyes. She's like, ah!
Oh, gosh.
Don't judge. No hate.
Oh, my God. She's like, look at my fairy-type Pokemon! Oh, God, I can't stand her. It's like fairy-types, for some reason, well, naturally, I guess, became, like, the key Pokemon of all the lasses. Because it was like, oh my god, we used to use just Clefairies and Jigglypuffs, but now we have all these options, like Azumarill and Mr. Yeah. Mime. Because it has the word fairy next to it, and it makes it 10 times more adorable.
And then they had those fairy girls, too, so it's like...
Oh, man. They're creepy.
Yeah.
They're almost as creepy as the Hex Maniacs. Whenever they gang up next to you, like they're double battling you, I'm like, they're going to do something weird. Okay, so in the room, your legendary of your version, either Xerneas or Yveltal, is hooked up to the Doomsday device. Shauna and Serena run off as they're chased by Minz. Basically, it's the way to shoo them out of the story when they're not needed anymore. While you battle the rest of the Minz, there's like four, and nothing special with those guys. They're all holding just one Pokemon each, and then they're pretty easy to defeat. And they got really upset when they get defeated, because they're the last resort. Come on, they could have held through. So, but they're just kind of like silly willy nillies. But the thing is,
I feel for them if they weren't idiots.
Yeah, they're complete idiots. They didn't even like whatever. I don't know of too many evil teams that I've liked in the games other than Gen 3s, because those were fun. They had like a really cool purpose, but
who were they?
That's just me. Just Team Magma and Team Aqua. Because they were like all about, I want to form the Earth in Ruby, and I want to form the ocean in Sapphire. It was fun. You're missing out, Devin.
Gen 2 was Team Rocket still, right?
Yeah. It was like a washed-up Team Rocket that was like, we're still around, we're still relevant.
Yeah, okay, just making sure.
Yeah, it's definitely. Okay, so the really cool cutscene that happens right after you walk forward is really neat, only because it shows your protagonist actually reacting to something, God forbid. Because it's like a cutscene that like pans up from like your legs as like you're backing up slowly, and you're like... And it, like, slowly pans up to, like, a shocked face as this large legendary Pokemon, like, roars and wants to bite your face off.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was like, that's a good representation of what a legendary Pokemon should act like, or what a protagonist should act like seeing a legendary Pokemon, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ariel, did you appreciate that?
I was like, yeah, I did appreciate that. It's like, okay, a giant thing just appeared from this supposedly inanimate cocoon or tree, and it's like, okay, Pokemon appeared out of nowhere, and it's like, oh my god, so...
I feel like Eevee-Tal is a lot more intimidating than Xerneas, though.
Oh, yeah.
If I saw, like, a deer roaring at me, I'd be like, it's Bambi. But this thing was like, I'm a dragon, I'm gonna eat your face off, roar.
It's Rainbow Bambi.
It's totally Rainbow Bambi. Oh, jeez. Okay, so, yeah, it's legendary battling slash capturing time, depending on what you want to do. This thing will use the most annoying recovery moves you've ever seen to heal itself. At least my Eevee-Tal did. I'm sure, I'm positive Xerneas had at least the move Recover or something equivalent.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So you guys had an easier capture time than me, because mine was horrible. I'll tell you that for a
really?
Yes.
I threw a single quick ball, and I got it.
Oh, shut up. Shut
I'm
up.
I'm not kidding. I started the battle, I used an attack, I was like, oh, I can use a quick ball. So I threw one, and it still caught it.
But quick ball doesn't have that 5x effectiveness when it's turn 2. It only has
I know. That's why I was so surprised that I just threw it off a whim, and I was like, okay, I caught you. Cool.
Did you even damage it?
I think I no. had All right, it damaged. Time 2.
Yeah, I think I used, like, Ice Beam on it just to see what it would do.
To see if it froze it.
Yeah, and then I just threw a ball, and I caught it.
Wow, you're one lucky Pika. Well, so am I, because I have a good story about mine.
Ooh.
Okay. So I'm getting really frustrated, because I hadn't been capturing any Pokemon in a while. I didn't have any Ultra Balls. So I was like, you know what? I saved right before, and I was like, Eevee-Tal, we got to hold this on for one more minute. I got to get some Pokeballs to go capture you. So I run over to my Pokestore, and they're still going. Like, they're still, like, there's a Doomsday device right outside of their door, but they don't give a single Pika. They're ready to sell you some Pokeballs for a reasonable price. So I buy like 30 Ultra Balls, I'm all ready, I'm like, battle time, here we go, guys. Like, I'm getting my Paralyze powder out, my like, all these little attacks, you know, to, like, get this thing ready. And literally, I just, on a whim, I just throw one Ultra Ball. And it's one of those ones that clicks like a Master Ball, those really rare
critical,
ones.
Critical capture.
Yeah, critical capture. And I was like, I bought 30. I was actually angry that I didn't have to use more of my Pokeballs. I really was.
Yeah, they made the capture rate so easy in this generation.
It's kind of silly. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I'm just like, wait, I shouldn't have captured that dragon type that easily, but I did.
Evoltal like is a dragon type, though.
No, I know. I'm saying like in reference to like an easy Pokemon that I've captured in the past that's like too easy.
Ah.
Eevee was too easy for me to capture. I thought it should.
Yeah, I had a harder time catching an Eevee than I did a darn legendary. I don't know. My Eevees were so hard to catch. I hated them.
Yeah, maybe it's because they know they're in high demand, so they like raise their catch rate or something for us. They probably would knowing them. All right, so if you don't capture it, there is the sprite of the Pokemon sitting there saying it wants to help you, but personally, once I defeated it, I was just like, oops, I have to restart. So I caught it, and then it asked me if I wanted to put it in my team for my box. And I was like, what? Who's doing this? This is Arceus. Arceus, you're here, and you're giving my Pokemon out of my box.
Yeah, it's like, where is this coming from? I mean, is there like a random PC nearby where it's like, okay, I'm just going to randomly put Xerneas into my party? Even though there's like no PC for the last 5 minutes, so I was like...
Yeah, it was kind of silly. And Saman, who's still clicking, tell us how this relates back to your cloud theory that you talked about a while ago on Pokemon. It was like DeviantArt fan art that talked about like how Pokemon are captured and then sent to the PC and put in a cloud or something. Wasn't it you that like got really into that?
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. No, I can't remember who did it. Someone like took a really scientific approach to how Pokemon are captured and how they get sent back to the PC. Maybe it was Jack that got into it.
I want to say Jack.
Some article on Bulbapedia or something.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe it was like a Tumblr post or something. I don't know. But that's what it reminded me of the cloud system. Maybe it was like, I don't know, it just didn't make any sense. Like, why was I able to take it out of the box for that specific moment? It was just silly. It was definitely Lord Arceus, like, shining down his his Evitol upon me and saying, here, you've captured it, take it, use it for no battles because you're done. I'm so critical. Okay, so... Actually, wait, no, you're not done. What am I talking about? Serena and Shauna arrive and congratulate you, but Lissandra also arrives in the silliest suit that I've ever seen in Pokemon. He comes in wearing Doc Ock arms, just like Clamont, okay? So he must have, like, just be cramping on the... I think he's cramping on Clamont style. And he has, like, these long, wiggly, like, tentacle arms with, like, clomping little heads and stuff, and he's wearing his glasses, like, he's ready to, like, go. I don't know what he's doing with this stuff, but he's so excited. And he's just like, all right, guys, time to battle, and I'm using my Mega Evolution Stones. And everyone's sitting around saying, gasp, how does he do that? Ariel, what's your explanation?
Well, I think it's something about that gear that he put on. It's like, earlier he wasn't able to use his Mega Evolution, so what's different now? His whole attire is different, so that's probably what allows him to channel the Gyaradosite.
I was a little bit frustrated that he didn't use that before, but hey, it's a good way to his own Deus Ex Machina, you know?
Maybe it's his form of that bracelet thing.
Maybe it's just his final form.
maybe he made it.
Oh, God.
Oh, I saw the best It's Not Even My Final Form the other day. Oh, my God. It was... Someone took the song Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, they put it in G minor, and they added, like, echo, and it had, like, 14 different octaves at the same time, and it sounds
God.
Like...
God!
It sounds like demonic, and it's... And literally, the about this video just reads, this isn't even Miley's final form, and I just died of laughter. It's the funniest thing ever. It's so... It cracks me up. I love final forms. It's the funniest joke ever.
I have to put that episode of ours in our Wall of Fame because
it
a lot.
Final Form is just one of my fave jokes. Love it. Right next to Rule 34. Those are very fun reoccurring themes of PokeChat.
And Creepypasta.
And Creepypasta, definitely. We have a lot of Creepypasta on here.
Oh, we totally missed episode 34 of that.
Oh my God, we didn't even talk. Oh, it's okay. We were too busy XYing, you know?
Yeah.
We should have just named that episode Pokemon XXX and been set, you know? Been done. Devin, are you showing us a cat?
Yeah, she's not very exciting right now, though. She's just sitting there.
Show us your cat. I want to see.
She's literally just sitting there.
Cat butt.
So aside from Devin's cat, you do battle Lissandra, and he does have a Mega Gyarados. This thing is beastly hunky chunky, but it couldn't stand against one electrical attack if it tried. Because I don't know what's typing off the top of my head.
It's water dark. I have a Mega Gyarados now. I literally trained it up yesterday, so.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, water dark. That loses its 4x weakness to electricity, but it's I feel like its defenses aren't that high, to tell you the truth.
It's somewhat bulky. It's not too bad.
It is somewhat bulky. But no, it's not at like this point, slow-king
bulky.
At this point, I had used Xerneas, and I had already used Geomancy, so oh, I like was ripping through everything with Xerneas. Moonblast all the things!
Oh, seriously, it's what everyone does. Samad, you did that to me when I battled against you. You moonblasted all the things.
I love moonblast.
You guys battled against each other? Where was I?
Where was
that? A while back.
It was like 3 a.m. California time. I don't know what I was doing, and I was just kind of like,
that. "Thanks, guys."
Everyone else was asleep, and I saw someone was online, so I was just like, "Hey, we're gonna like Poke Battle right now," and it was fun. We talked about it on PokeChat. Pay attention to your episodes; they're not on to Devin. Jeez.
No, I ain't doing nothing. I'm out of this. I quit.
He's done. Okay, well, speaking of temper tantrums, Lissandra throws a temper tantrum and throws a glass off of it, like Devin's doing right now when he loses to you. And he uses whatever...
Transition.
I know, right. He uses the 99% power that he's absorbed from that legendary, and he's just like, I don't know, I'm going to explode things. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, wait, is this, like, the end? Like, did the world end still? I don't know. 99% is pretty close to 100, so we probably have, like, a bad situation on our hands. So
it's over 9,000!
I, of course, naturally, over 9,000. But he still has this, like, thing sent up its beam to space, and then it comes down, it kind of, like, flattens out even more of Jewessenge Town, but it doesn't flatten out anything. Like, those houses are still just tipped over, but they're still, like, you know, nice peaceful log cabins. They look like a jolly green giant just decided to, like, kind of slowly nudge them over and not damage them. And it's just weird, because there's a couple houses that are still, like, right next to the, you know, that point zero of the bomb, but they're still, like, fine. They're still standing up, including the Poké Center. That one's fine. Like, no one, like, Nurse Joy should at least,
there's
the very
NPCs
least.
There's NPCs in there. That's why. They didn't want to murder NPCs.
Apparently they don't want to murder NPCs. Well, they did in the 3,000 Year War. Think about that.
Well, you weren't alive then, so...
So whatever happened before, it doesn't matter. Okay, I get that logic. Alright, so... Yeah, you are all safe. I don't know how everyone gets out in time. Assumedly, Lysandra dies, because you don't see him. So, we can say this is a form of committing suicide.
There is a theory, though. There is a theory.
What's your theory?
The theory is that because he used the machine, that the same thing that happened to AZ also happened to Lysandra, so he's going to, like, walk the earth for 3,000 years now, but it's like, he's currently under the rubble, and he's, like, trying to get out, so it's like, he may not have died, and he might be back for Pokemon Z or something.
Well, it's a good thing he put on those Dr. Ock arms. He's going to be able to use his superhuman technology strength to throw boulders everywhere, and he's going to get out there nice and soon. What about all of his admins are dead? It's kind of like this whole thing reversed, because, like, do you not think it through? Because he had everyone that was important in his team, like I was saying before, in that building, and
yeah,
maybe he was just like, oh well, I lost one Pokemon battle, so I'm gonna kill
YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO. Yeah. Like, sorry followers who are willing to be the only human beings left on Earth with me. I'm just gonna kill you all.
It was his form of, like, the Kool-Aid problem. We could just give him Kool-Aid. And
no. He said that select people would live. So
yeah, that was meant to be his Team Flare team. The ones who were paying $5 million to be a part of his team.
My theory was that apparently it makes people immortal thing is it was originally a healing machine. So maybe the user becomes immortal and everything else dies.
I can see the connection. I'll wait for movie 18 to teach me it because I'm sure it's going to be another movie 17 about... some crap, I don't know. They'll find, like, another way to put Mewtwo in there or something.
Because it was used on Floette, and Floette's still alive, so...
Floette in general, or that one Floette?
That one Floette.
And that was the one that guy uncovered inside the game, that special colored Floette, if anybody noticed.
Wait, what?
That guy that kind of hacked the game and found those Pokemon that weren't in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that was one of the Floettes had a special
AZ's
color.
Floette, yeah.
And that was the one.
Hmm. Interesting. It was one from that story.
It was like a blue and red one or something.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so... No. So, apparently that's it for... Everything with Team Flare, we're done. Like,
woo!
Sandra had his 15 minutes, and he just exploded everything. I don't know. He's done. So whatever. He's good. He's dead. Maybe, or maybe he's not. He's Dr. Octopusing down there. He's gonna come up eventually. We'll see him in either. We'll see him in X2, Y2, or Z. Like, he's gonna show up again. Right? He just felt like he didn't go out. Like, he went out with a bang. But he didn't go out with a bang, you know? Like, there's a difference.
He went out with a boom.
He went with a boom, but not a bang, I'd say. Okay, so, yeah, you all escape, you're all safe, and everyone is outside talking, and Tierno and Trevor are, like, just sitting around, like, yeah, we were safe. We kind of just, like, sit on Route 10 right below the explosion, but we were fine. I'm like, okay, apparently you guys are cockroaches or something, because you're surviving, like, a nuclear power. Easily. Everyone is. Like, everyone must have gotten their injection of, like, radioactive spider juice. Like, I'm seeing too many Spider-Man references in this episode of Poker Chat. Because everyone was just fine. They were just, like, wow. Good. I don't know. It was wild. It was a wild time that everyone lived. Yeah, and Shauna suggests that you guys all go back to the town where all of this business started, which is Anastar Town. I don't remember how anything started in Anastar City at this point. Maybe it was the gem that started this? What was it? I don't know.
It was Lysandra calling all the trainers on their holocaster saying, I'm going to destroy the world.
Oh, well, it's not like it started there. It started in, it started in probably Lumio City, because it's where you first went to the cafe.
Well, that's where this whole part of the story started. That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, right after everyone else leaves, the king's descendant, or the king himself...
It is the king himself.
No, stop it with your spoilers! The king.
No, you know this by now. This isn't a spoiler. It is the king.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Saman, what's up? You're doubting Arceus. Doubt Arceus. Arceus knows all.
I mean, you saw him in the cutscene. It's definitely AZ, who's the king.
Here it is, Arya. I mean, Saman, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I was thinking, I'm not sure it was 100% confirmed it was the same person, but I guess so.
Maybe it's supposed to be left up to speculation. We'll never know. Okay, so yeah, he basically just speaks mysteriously about the story he told once again, and he doesn't tell you too much new information, and then he walks away, and I'm just like, all right, I guess you're done. See ya. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Okay, so upon arriving at Anistar City, Sycamore calls you and asks you to talk to him face-to-face in the next town, which is Couriway town.
Couriway.
I'm going to call it C-Town. It sounds Couriway really like...
Town.
C-Town sounds like very, you know, like, hey, we're going to C-Town. Or we're gonna go meet up at C-Town now. But to get there, you have to go through Route 18, which is Vele et Roit Way. And this is basically as standard as any route comes. It has nothing special other than railroad tracks, which lead to a hellhole of caves that you should not explore because there's nothing good in them except for some legendary that I'm sure I don't care about. Some legendary Articuno bird or something's gonna be in there. That's it.
There is a legendary in there, but you're not allowed to get it yet.
Until you beat the Elite Four, yeah. I saw some guy standing at a cave entrance, and it was like, I had to use, like, strength boulders to get them or something, and I was like, I'm not going to do that now. You're just going to tell me I can't go. So, basically, I'm just going to keep patient, I guess, and, yeah, whatever. I'm resetting my game anyway, so if anyone wants whatever that legendary is, get on that. I already have the taker, so... So it's pretty annoying because Durant will jump out of you in two locations of the bushes, and it was a bit pesky because I kept having to go back to heal because I was like in that cave dying, and every time I was just like, you know, on the last brink of death, all of a sudden it would have a little Durant pop out. Ariel, I feel like it's an earthquake on your end. You're just shaking, shacking everywhere.
I was just like, no, I don't need this, no. Let me get to Couriway Town. Seriously, get out of my way. Run! Durant are annoying. I know they have a 4x weakness to fire, but it's like, ugh. Seriously, these things are so fast, and they have a moveset that's annoying as Pika, and...
Totally. I feel like everyone's moving their microphones right now. Arielle is. Saman was a little jiggly. No, not too much. She only did a little bit. What's going on? Devin's good. Devin, gold star for you. You didn't jiggle today.
Woo!
Well, my iPhone is running out of battery, so I had to go put it on the charger.
All right, fair enough. All right, so continuing on, you are able to do your first inverse battle very late in the game, I should note. And inverse battles do exactly what they sound like they do. They reverse the effectiveness of each type on a Pokemon. So the example that you're given is Grass-type Pokemon will now have an advantage over Fire-type Pokemon, and that's pretty much the way it goes from there on. It's a bit confusing. The trainer that you fight is inside of a house, and he has 3-step Pokemon, and I remember one of them was like a Golurk or something, and I can't remember the others. But they
it's
were
actually randomized.
Oh, really? Because they were pretty tough.
Yes, it is random. It's like... Yeah, it was tough. Any 3 Pokemon that are available at the Battle Maze Zone.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Well, they were tough. I had a hard time defeating them, and I was just...
Yeah, it's like they're fully EV trained guessing. And everything, so totally. They are tough.
No, I was just guessing, though. I was just like, flamethrower? Oh, it worked! Oh, super effective? Huh? What happened? So... my question for you guys is do you want to see more of inverse battles?
No.
And, okay, Devin, why not?
Because they completely throw everything I'm used to out the window. I'm like, nope, not fun.
That's probably why they do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like them for that reason. It's like an extra challenge. It's like, okay, you know the type chart, now you have to reverse everything in your head, so like all of a sudden steel goes from the best defensive type to the worst type, and it's like, and then dragon types are super effective against fairy, and like all this other jazz, and you're like, well, this is interesting. It's like, I wish there was more of this instead of just like a daily thing.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see it around, and I am kind of a bit sad that it wasn't showing up again, you know, because I expected to see more of it later on, but I feel like from what you guys are talking about, that this was like the only moment that we saw these, right?
Yeah, but you are allowed to go back each day and fight him again, so.
And he does randomize what he's doing, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. And Samad, how are you feeling about inverse battles? Did you do that one?
I'm not too bothered by them. Like, if they keep coming back, that's alright. But if they don't, meh.
Meh. I get you. Yeah. Makes sense. And if you guys want to know the location of one TM that I was able to meander my way around to find, it was TM31 Brick Break, which was found at the top right cave if you go on top of the railroad tracks. It's the best location I can really give you to describe it. But if you're looking for a good fighting type move, that might be what you're looking for. So, yeah, literally, like, these caves were just the majority of the route. You could have skipped over all of them. You're gonna miss out on some experience if you still need it, if you haven't been doing EXP all, and you're going to miss out on TMs and random held items and stuff. But I just didn't care to go through it enough. It wasn't enough interest to me, and I don't think anyone else really was going to spend that time to do that before post-game.
I didn't do Terminus Cave until later.
There's no point to it yet.
I went through that cave thinking that was the only way to go through. I didn't even think to go down. And I came out, and I went down. I was like, sweet. That was fun.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
So I spent, like, I was driving down south while playing. Like, I was in the back seat, and it was so hard to see because it was sunny out, and I spent, like, an hour and a half in there just trying to find my way out.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
It's not a good time whatsoever.
Nope, not at all.
No party time.
All right, so
I was training at my B team, so it was all right. It was decent.
Definitely. All right, so as you enter into Sea Town, you notice that there are waterfalls around, which is like the major tourist destination-y thing of this one place. Sycamore meets up with you and apologizes for the Sandra and battles you using his Gen 1 third stage starters. And he doesn't use any Mega Evolutions. I didn't know how he was going to, but I half expected it at this point because Lissandra was able to get around it by putting on a Doc Ock suit, so who knew what the Pokemon Professor this gem was going to be able to do. Maybe he'd just say, I love my Pokemon, and they would start evolving or something. So after the battle, he tells you to search the town for a special treasure. He's left for you. You know what? It's funny that I wrote that note because now I don't remember I didn't remember to look for it, and now I don't know what that is. So who searched for his special gift?
I searched for it, but I did not find it. I had to look on the internet later to find out what it actually was.
What is it?
It's a little note that's left on the train. There's a bench at the train station, and he leaves a note for you, but except it's not for you. It's like, it's a note to himself.
That's like present.
Yeah, I found that it's not much of a gift, is it?
No, that's kind of silly. I don't understand that. That's just whatever.
It's a note to his future self.
Yeah.
That's strange. I don't understand. So Sycamore, bad gift giver. You really have to learn because you're gonna date her mom soon, you know? Because you're right. Because you wrote a letter of permission to her, and she already got that letter, so. You know, you guys have to be pen pals now, but you're just writing letters to yourself. You're just not going to get her too well. That's not even a gift. That's like just a diary entry. Oh boy, big deal. Maybe they were talking to the player, and the gift was more information. Well, what does the letter say? Is it just like, I feel bad about my previous mistakes of trusting Lissandra. I will continue to love Pokemon and search blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. I haven't actually seen the note for myself.
Sort of thing.
Is that what it is? Come on.
I would assume so.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it feels like it would be, honestly.
It's just wisdom, basically.
Yeah, my gift to you is wisdom. The best gift I can give to you. Okay, so a lady in a house below the Pokemon Center gives you the item that boosts... Gives you the move that boosts your starter's type after No. It gives you the item that boosts your starter's type after you complete a short little quiz. And a good example is Miracle Seed for grass types if you chose Chespin. Okay. So a boy in the hotel of this town gives you TM55 Scald, which Saman is a big fan of, I know, from when she was talking about her Sinipur. And a lady at the train station... Definitely. And a lady at the train station gives you TM89 U-turn, a pretty useful bug-type move. And that is pretty much it for that town, in case you wanted to go look for that note that was just meant to be a cute little touristy thing. Nothing too special there. Devin, were you impressed by it?
Meh.
Yeah.
I've seen better.
filler town, right? Like, just a filler
town.
Yeah,
extremely.
Totally. Definitely. Okay, so the next route is Route 19, Grand Valet Way. A sky trainer has an Aerodactyl. Nope. And that I just noped. I looked at it and I said, nope. And then we go on to below the main level where there is a marsh. Those aren't too fun. I can't think of a single human being that enjoys going into a marsh, whether in game or in real life. It's just not a fun time. There are plenty of annoying Pokemon Rangers who are sitting there ready to use their static ability to paralyze you, and I'm just like, oh, get out of here. The most exciting thing that happens is that when you're walking across a very rickety, old-looking wooden bridge, Shauna meets up with you and battles you. She uses a team of Delcatty, Gudra, which is the third stage of Goomy, and Greninja, which is the third stage of Froakie. She has a pretty good team. This is the first time we've seen her team. I'm impressed. I thought that she was doing pretty good. It was almost difficult to defeat everything, too, and I was like, oh,
what type is Delcatty?
Did it change to Fairy in this gen?
No, it's still pure normal.
Why?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? It's like one of those.
I know. I was surprised too. I'm like, why is this thing not fairy?
That's just silly. I don't understand that. Is Clefairy fairy? Is that like official? Did it happen?
What? Yeah. Clefairy is now fairy. Yes.
Okay, thank God.
Is it pure like, fairy or is it?
It's
half
pure fairy.
Half?
It's pure fairy. Whereas Wigglytuff is now normal fairy, and it's like, why could you not get rid of that normal type for Wigglytuff?
Yeah, seriously. It's like I don't want that fighting type disadvantage anymore. With the fighting type advantage. Alright, so after Shauna battles you, Trevor and Tierno join in on the bridge, because apparently this is the place to meet up and have battles. Tierno asks you for a battle, and he uses Talonflame, which is pretty fast, so might get you in with a couple acrobatics. Roserade, which is a pretty cool later retconned version of the... second stage, I can't remember. What's that thing?
Roselia,
yeah, that was a cool retcon that was added in after Gen 3. I like that. That was fun. And that was one of our PokeChat highlight ones, too. That was cool.
Yeah.
And then also, he uses that random Crawdaunt that he had from way back when, and I still don't understand what the relevance of his Crawdaunt is. The world may never know.
It's dance Pokemon for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, like, I think we remember us talking about how, like, crabs kind of dance, so maybe that's what's going on or something.
Crab dance.
So Trevor conveniently heals your Pokemon before he wants to battle you. And this is the first time you've battled him,
good.
Too. Yeah, I know, right? And Saman, I feel like you're really going to like his team because he uses a Raichu on it. So you must have been a big fan of that going on there, right?
But she doesn't evolve Pikachu, so why is she a fan?
Yeah. Well, you just like the Pikachu line, right, Saman?
Huh?
You just like the Pikachu family line, right?
Of course. It has no equal.
And then she also uses Florgus, which is one of the Flabébé evolutions, and then Aerodactyl. So Aerodactyl is still someone you're going to have to try and go through. I said she, sorry, he. This is Trevor. Aerodactyl is still someone you're going to have to battle. If you didn't fight that Sky Trainer, you're still going to have to fight it. And Aerodactyl is pretty beastly for someone of this stature to have in the game. So I was, once again, I was impressed. Devin, did you have any difficulties with any of these three trainers?
Solar Beam with Charizard.
Oh, yeah, you're good. You've drowned it out. You're done.
That's all I used on that Aerodactyl.
Seriously. Aerodactyl's a tricky type. That rock flying.
Yeah.
It definitely trips me up. I just don't think I can ever, like, find a good combo for it. I don't know.
I like the way he looks. I've always liked the way Aerodactyl looks.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of neat. Cool. Doesn't he get a Mega in this game?
He does.
You get the goatee, too.
Does he change typing?
No.
I didn't think so.
Is he flying dragon or just flying or just dragon? I don't remember.
He's rock flying still.
Oh, yeah. He's rock flying. I knew that. That's why I was just talking about his typing.
I think it would be dragon.
Nope. Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't get dragon either, but I'm like, well, okay then.
I guess Charizard ran in that parade. He already did that.
Yeah. And then Gyarados didn't get his dragon type either. He gets dark instead, and it's like, why?
That's just dumb.
You should be water dragon type.
He represents nothing of dark type either, the way it looks. It's just, like, just fat.
He's just a big shrimp. Yeah, it looks terrible.
Yes, it's a giant shrimp.
It's going to be funny.
Which is a bit of an oxymoron, but it's true. Mega Gyarados is a giant shrimp.
That's funny. Oh, and after the battle, too, it's noted that Serena is off training with that Mega Evolution Guru, and I'm sure that she's keeping that Lucario company that Jack left, because that thing is still sitting there being a stingy old pet, apparently.
When I listened to that episode, I was just like, oh, Jack, I want to slap you.
Oh, I know, right? He took the free Lucario. It's his favorite Pokemon. Like, I'm breed like, it. Breed I, it. Just breed
yeah,
it.
No kidding.
Like, make it level one and then have it as your own.
You know, I'm just gonna wait till I come over from the Pokebank. Or I don't have a good Australian.
It's not Australian. What's the matter?
Oi, Lucario. I don't know.
It's just like, come on. Like, they did all the work for you. They, like, did all the Ryloo evolution stuff, and all you have to do now is just, like, you know, watch out for, like, those fire types in your set.
Yeah. But...
come on.
I used Lucario for the longest time in my playthrough, so.
I still use mine. Mine's on my A-team.
Yeah, totally. Like, Lucario's a good Pokemon. Jack, we're not forgiving you if you're listening to this right now. I hope you're listening.
Never forget Lucario.
First you give him flack for not being on, and now you give him flack for not using Lucario. Wow, you're just on top of things.
You're fired, Jack. You're fired.
Oh, yes. So Devin has the executive power to fire people. Noted.
Yes.
Suck up to Devin.
You're fired, you're fired, and you're fired.
Oh, and guys, something really horrible happens on this bridge. It's absolutely horrific. You get to HM05 waterfall.
You get
waterfall. You know what it means when you get waterfall? You're expected to teach one of your Pokemon waterfall.
Yes.
It is a physical type move. Most water types have special type attacks. Okay.
Gyarados doesn't.
My Lapras is not learning Waterfall, no matter how much they want it to. That's not happening. Not happening. Made that mistake. I've done Surf, Whirlpool, Waterfall, Dive before on one of my Pokemon because I had no choice. In Gen 3, if they ever remake those games, because they better not make you use those four HMs ever again. Because I had to, you had to. There was no point to like go back and get like an HM slave to do it. And
yeah!
It's horrible.
Aww, don't have a
semi-poor. But I would just... I semi-poor, come on, that thing. carbon copy monkey. I can't stand all of the HM water-type moves. They get old. They're really silly.
Some of them are useful.
They're all, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just too jaded from Gen 3 when I needed all four on one Pokemon.
They're pretty powerful.
They can, but it makes me feel like I don't get a choice because I can't move them. I can't take them off once I put them on unless I go to that move deleter, and that's very inconvenient. Because what if I just learned a move when I was leveling up and I can't teach it to my Pokemon because I'm in those HMs? Then I have to go find a heart scale. Like, it's a big process.
I made a Pampor my water HM slave just because of...
Good.
Because it's a mon.
I think during my playthrough, I had a random love disc, and I used that. But then I realized that you could get the Lapras, because I completely missed that during way back when, and I'm just
shame.
Like, oh my gosh, how did I miss this Lapras? And it's like,
how
I went back,
Lapras?
And...
You horrible
now
human
it's
being.
My HM slave. I've got Surf, Waterfall, Strength, and Rock Smash. So it's like
he made a Lapras an HM slave. Can we get rid of her too? Can we just need to start cutting heads here?
You cannot get rid of God.
All right, guys, so...
All right, yes, we'll smite you.
You have the horrible... Is it team or HM? I don't remember. Either way, it just sucks. I can't stand Butterfall. And that is going to, unfortunately, come into play, I'm sure. When I'm going to the Elite Four, and I have to take one of those alternate routes to explore all the items that I have to get. Can't wait. Okay,
oh,
so...
Oh, you're going to need it. You are going to need it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to make an HM through. Slave. I'm going to make an HM slave. That's
it. I'm sorry. I'm kind of spoiling things right now, but you need Waterfall in order to get through... the victory road.
The main path?
The main path.
That's garbage.
You always, yeah. You always need to use Waterfall to get to victory mode.
Yeah, and I hate it. I hate it. Because then I'm on victory road minus one Pokemon that I've been training the whole time.
And the
I feel
like
I'm not even
is,
using it.
It's like the slave is always such low level that it keeps leveling up with XP all. I'm like, stop. You're not learning
I know.
Moves.
I know. It's like, I want to evolve. I want to evolve. I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Now.
You're a slave.
Like, Meryl, you're just my slave. Get over it. That's it. That's all you'll ever be. All right, so as you enter the next town, it is Snowbell City, and it is extremely snowy, just as any other town that we've been in for the past three episodes of PokeChat have been. A man in a house in the lower part of town can teach your starter Pokemon its ultimate move, depending on fire, water, or grass type. And mine was, I think, that plant frenzy move.
Frenzy plant, yeah.
Frenzy plant move. What are the other two, Ariel?
The other two are Hydro Cannon and Blast Burn.
Oh, okay. So there's that, if you can do that. But it had 90% accuracy, and it had 150 power. But it also made it so I couldn't attack the second turn. So I was like, eh.
Yeah, it's not used in the meta very much. I mean, I did have a battle that I would love everybody to be able to watch my battle where my Aegislash manages to live a Blast Burn from Charizard X, and I'm just like, oh, it lived with 1 HP! And I'm like, oh, you are great!
Oh, that's crazy. That Pokemon is pretty tanky, though. That's pretty good. That's
yeah.
A good Pokemon.
And he was properly EV trained.
There you
yes!
go. That's exactly why you survived. Okay, cool. So, a lady in the northern part of town wants you to trade her Bisharp for your Jigglypuff, which you can conveniently catch in this one in this winding wood right below you, which is the next place you have to go to because the gym leader is not at home because he's too busy sitting there playing in the flowers, apparently, because that's something that gym leaders tend to do. So, you have to go off in this very Ocarina of Time Lost Woods area, where you will be walking through what looks like the same area again and again and again and again until you just happen to get the right path. So basically my note to this on this part was like, if you don't have an online guide, good luck. You're probably not going to get it the first time. I got lucky. I barely got it. It was just by pure dumb luck. Like literally, that was it. So, and the thing is when you first walk in here, you will see the Leafeon Training Rock so you can evolve Eevee
right
in
here.
I'm
harder now because my thing is slow. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm talking to my mom because guys are about to come up here and paint my doors, and I'm just gonna be in the way. So I think I need to like move my location. So.
Good thing you're on mobile then. Okay, so. Yes,
I'm going to shut up and move.
So the woods led out to the Pokemon Village, which is a place for misfit Pokemon to take refuge, which is what the Ice-type gym leader tells you. He also tells you that he'll meet you back at the gym, but he wants you to hang out with these cute little critters for a while. They give you items every once in a while, but they're nothing that special. Like, I didn't see the reason to hang out here too much. Saman, did you go over into the Pokemon Village and do too much?
I just... talked to the Pokemon, got the items, and left.
Yeah, definitely. And Devin, did you see the one Snorlax that was sleeping in that one area?
I saw it sleeping, yeah, and I walked around for a little bit, but then I wanted to get back to that gym and finish that up.
Oh, okay. I was just asking to know Snorlax is your favorite Pokemon.
I love him. I already caught one, though, so I'll let that one sleep.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so now you can head back to Snowbell City's gym and go through this ice-type gym's puzzle, which includes a rotating floor and color-coded buttons. It's pretty easy to find the pattern in your brain by now. Ariel is very shaky. I'll wait for it to stop being shaky. There you go. The pattern for puzzles in Pokemon games seems pretty evident to me by this point because I've played so many, and the gyms always tend to have the same patterns to solve, and I mean, I think Ariel and Saman, you can attest to what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, see, I was laughing in my head the other episode, where you were saying, I hope there's not any more cracked ice puzzles.
Oh my god, if there's another cracked ice puzzle.
I was thinking it's coming.
No. This isn't cracked ice. This is nowhere near cracked ice. Definitely not.
What? It's easy, but it technically is cracked ice.
Cracked ice was extreme, I have to admit. Alright, so I didn't have too much of a difficulty with it because I was able to see the pattern of where they wanted me to press the buttons and when and all that stuff. It wasn't too big. So you go up to Leader Wolfric, who is meant to look like some kind of walrus, I'm assuming, because he's really chubby and he has a mustache that comes down and all that. And as soon as you talk to him, he just slaps his big old belly and he's like, all right, time to battle, here we go. He sends out what I would consider to be his star Pokemon first, which was his Abomasnow, and then his Avalug, which is a new Pokemon for XY that is like this large plate of ice, basically. It's a pure ice type. And then a Cryogonal, which is...
Cryogonal.
I went really slow over the word because I was like, I'm not sure. I'm just going to really... I'll anticipate Arceus. and that's that annoying Pokemon that it couldn't stand the last episode of PokeChat that was just floating in the sky battle and looking to kill every flying type out there. So let's just say these Pokemon got a good taste of Flamethrower, and that was it. Done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wasn't too much to
Amen.
It. Hallelujah. So right in the end of the battle, he gives you the TM-13 Ice Beam, which is pretty awesome, if you ask me. That's a pretty good TM to get. And I think that everyone's going to appreciate that when we inevitably fight our Dragon-type, Flying-type, something that needs ice type Elite Four member. And it's going to be pretty convenient to have it. Alright, so other than that, that is what we have for our XY playthrough. We have a couple of news items to go through. The first is that Origins Part 1's English dub is now available on Pokemon TV, because we were talking about that for a while. And that you will be able to catch Part 2 on November 18th, Part 3 on the 20th, and Part 4 on the 22nd. This will be on the official Pokemon English website and also on the Pokemon TV app. Check those out, because we will be covering those. Which brings me to my next order of business. Here are the next upcoming episodes that we have coming out, because we have a lot planned for you guys. Because if you think you're getting a lot now, just wait to see how much more you're going to get. So, on November 18th, which is a Monday, we're sending out a one-year anniversary episode, which is going to be similar to the one that was done for Glee Chat, if you listen to that podcast. And we'll just have the best-of clips, and Devin, Saman, and I are working very hard at putting together those time clips and all that stuff. So, I look forward to
my Electabuzz impersonation will be on there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'll search for it now. Good. Okay, so then November 20th, which is our upcoming Wednesday, will be our Elite Four live episode at 7 p.m. EST.
I wish I could be there.
I know, it's going to be very fun. And then we take a small break from our XY playthrough because we have an Origins episode to do. On November 25th, which is a Monday, we will release our Origins recap for all four parts. Then, all the way to December, on December 4th, which is a Wednesday, we'll start again with our post-game live XY episode. We'll do our first one on that Wednesday, and then our second one on December 7th on that Saturday. And if you feel like you're not overrun by dates by now, you will be by this last one. December 22nd will be the start of our anime. So you've all that to look forward to. I told you you're going to have a lot to listen to. So that's
Don't
where we're going
out. I'm having trouble keeping that straight because... We couldn't even keep it straight.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Basically, it goes like this. We just go right from this episode up until our Elite Four, and then we jump over to an Origins episode, then we come back for post-game, and then after post-game ends, we go to anime. That's the way it lays out. All right, so that's what you can expect out of PokeChat, and I hope you enjoyed listening to episode 38. We paid close attention to all the finer details of this lengthy section for you guys. And if you have anything that you want us to cover more in depth, feel free to go on this post on hypebull.com to tell us exactly what you want us to discuss. All right, so that is it for episode 38 of PokeChat, and we will catch you the next time. Bye-bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.